underestimating the long-term price impact of the Bitcoin halving because Bitwise thinks you might be. Good morning. You're listening to the Rise and Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph with me, Robert Baggs, steering you through the crypto cosmos with daily dispatches from the digital frontier. If you want to know why robots are cutting your bitcoins in half on Saturday, you better click that follow button. Okay, grab yourself a coffee and let's get into it. So naturally, at the moment, all eyes are on Bitcoin, and for that reason, this will be a Bitcoin-heavy episode. We're going to look at some analysis on how low Bitcoin can go during its current struggles, Bybit suggesting that Bitcoin supply could run out on exchanges in 9 months, Bitwise suggesting the crypto market is underestimating the long-term impact of the halving. Then we'll look at an interview with the Telegram founder who believes we're going to see crypto hardware wallet-style communication devices. And finally, the floor price for the Bored Ape Yacht Club NFTs is down 93%, but that isn't the whole story. With the halving event now just 3 days away, the focus on Bitcoin is intense. There is an army of analysts and researchers creating reports left and right to the point where it can be kind of intimidating. What's more, many of them are conflicting. But there are some really interesting and well-founded narratives, so I want to bring you some of the best research and analysis I've seen. Firstly, Cointelegraph's own William Suberg asked the question, how low can Bitcoin's price go? For Suberg, the standout answer is from the popular analyst Mark Cullen, who highlighted the attack on the $60,000 resistance as the crucial price point. And utilizing the Elliott Wave method, Cullen suggests that a final down move could take Bitcoin to $59,000, but if that's going to happen, it will be imminent. The next report that's certainly eyebrow-raising is from Bybit, and it's a more direct extension of the Bitcoin supply problem that I've discussed several times. So what this report states is that unless the spot Bitcoin ETFs lose a lot of demand, the post-halving supply dynamic will see exchange reserves run out of Bitcoin. The report reads, Bitcoin reserves in all centralized exchanges have been depleting faster. With only 2 million Bitcoins left, if we assume a daily inflow of $500 million to Bitcoin spot ETFs, the equivalent of around 7,142 Bitcoins will leave exchange reserves daily, suggesting that it will only take 9 months to consume all of the remaining reserves. Now, the Bybit researchers definitely know more than I do, but I can't quite make these numbers scan. The spot Bitcoin ETF saw $500 million worth of inflows on every trading day for the next 9 months. That would be about 1.3 million Bitcoin, not to mention that we haven't seen $500 million worth of inflows very often in the past few weeks. But perhaps I'm missing something, so feel free to correct me on X. And either way, I don't think this means there isn't going to be a supply issue. So I want to summarize why, in spite of these dwindling ETF inflows in the past week or so, which have been far below $500 million combined, there is still a decent case for a marked increase. Firstly, there are the myriad people and firms telling us that institutional investment into the ETFs hasn't really happened yet. The ARK Invest CEO Cathie Wood has flagged it, plus reports have confirmed the same, and there has been this ongoing explanation of due diligence. Bybit even notes in this report, we believe that not all institutions have been able to gain exposure since the approval of the Bitcoin spot ETFs in January 2024, as their investment mandates restrict them from investing in new products that have been in the market for only a few months. Some of the most knowledgeable people in finance have claimed this to be the case, so who am I to question it? There is then, of course, the spot Bitcoin ETFs in other countries, with Hong Kong the most recent hat in the ring. Though admittedly with Hong Kong, Bloomberg's Eric Balchunas did say we would be lucky to see $500 million in flows total. So the potential for the increased demand is clear, but could the exchanges really run out of Bitcoin? I find it hard to imagine that scenario, particularly as the attractiveness of selling rises in accordance with Bitcoin's price following this demand increase. But Bybit is the world's third largest exchange, so they are not naive. In fact, the naive party in crypto right now might be the market as a whole, according to the crypto index fund manager Bitwise. Okay, they didn't use the word naive, that was just for the smooth transition, but in a recent post they wrote about the long-term effects of the halvings and how the market reacts to them. It reads, the data is limited, but the picture reveals an intriguing pattern. The market prices in the short-term impact of the halving, but underestimates the long-term impact. So let's take a look at that limited data set. In the month after the 2012 halving, Bitcoin gained 9%, but then over the next year, it surged 8,839%. In the 2016 halving, Bitcoin fell 10% in the month after, but gained 285% to a peak of $20,000 in 2017. And finally, in 2020, Bitcoin's price rose 6% in the month post-halving, followed by a 548% pump over the next year. Even if we were to pick the lowest gains from any post-halving, which would be 2016 with 285%, as it stands, that would put Bitcoin's price in the region of $180,000, which is a price tag that many people think is reasonable, but it's still hard to imagine that happening in the next year. Still, the message here is don't underestimate the long-term impact of halvings. Pavel Durov, the founder of the encrypted instant messaging app and home for most of crypto, Telegram, has made some bold predictions in an interview with Tucker Carlson. What makes this so interesting is that the prediction is not only in Durov's area of expertise, but it's a lesser discussed part of crypto. Durov believes that the rising government surveillance will cause the birth of secure communication devices inspired by crypto hardware wallets like Ledger. Durov said, "The world is becoming less amenable. Governments are becoming less tolerant of privacy, and that's clearly the trend because they have more technological power." Durov went on to make some weighty allegations against the United States law enforcement agency, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, who he says attempted to persuade people affiliated with Telegram to install backdoors for surveillance purposes. And this comes just 2 days after the American whistleblower Edward Snowden flagged that the United States National Security Agency, the NSA, is just days away from taking over the internet with a bill that forces people and companies to assist in NSA surveillance. I'll link to an article about that in references in the description below. So Durov believes that innovation around secure and private communication will come as a necessity from the encroachment of governments, which is also why, Durov states, the geopolitical neutrality of the United Arab Emirates is appealing, particularly when avoiding the anti-surveillance culture. He said, "It's a small country that wants to be friends with everybody. It's not aligned geopolitically with any of the big superpowers, and I think it's the best place for a neutral platform like ours to be in if we want to make sure we can defend our users' privacy and freedom of speech." So could we be buying privacy hardware in the near future? Perhaps. While I will die on the hill of NFTs having value in a great many ways, including art, I have been openly skeptical about art NFTs of the past bull run ever returning to that former glory. I could see a case for some of the blue chip collections retaining high price tags, particularly collections like CryptoPunks, which were one of the first to exist. However, Bored Ape NFTs by Yuga Labs were firmly blue chip, but didn't weather the winter well. As it stands, the Bored Ape Yacht Club collection's floor price is down to 10.74 ETH, which while a lot is a 93% drop from the all-time high of 153.7 ETH. What's worse is that 50% of this drop in floor price has been since the 1st of March this year, and it has returned the floor price to where it was just 4 months after the collection launched in April 2021. Now, mainstream media outlets would stop this story here, concluding that NFTs are dead and chortling at anyone who lost money on them. But I wouldn't do that to you. Even though I don't believe art NFT collections will return to the dizzying heights they were once at, there is plenty of positives out there, even for Bored Ape Yacht Club, because just last month, BAYC number 830 sold for 504.3 ETH, which was around $1.92 million at the time. Then there is Pudgy Penguins, a collection launched in July 2021 that has frankly gone from strength to strength. The floor price is around 10 ETH, which is similar to BAYC, but they are passing each other going different directions on the mountain. Pudgy Penguins' floor price is up 157.4% on the year. In fact, in 2024, it set a new all-time high of over double the current floor price. I can't speak of the difference maker with any certainty, but I can say that during the crypto winter, Pudgy Penguins carried on building. They fleshed out the NFT's utility, giving access to experiences and events. They launched physical plushies, and they were heavily active on all social media platforms. Then anecdotally, at NFT.nyc this year, there was a Pudgy Penguins dinner as a side event that I couldn't get into as I didn't hold the NFT. But far more interesting than my rejection is that most holders couldn't get in either as it was so oversubscribed. So the arts NFT space might not be as busy as it once was, but pronouncing it dead would be a mistake. So there you go. Hopefully that balances out the conversation for you. Do you think art NFTs are coming back to their former glory? Share your thoughts with us on @Cointelegraph and @RKBags on X and @RKBags on Warpcast. Okay, that is it for today. Consider yourself informed. Thank you for listening to the Rise in Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph. If you're enjoying these daily updates, please make sure you let us know by following, subscribing, or leaving a review. You can also join the Rise in Crypto community on Warpcast, which has the channel name RNC. Okay, have a great day. Let's do this again tomorrow.